What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
It was definitely a weird... We had never had a playoff like this.
No.
We've never had... Like, college football, I saw a lot of this yesterday, that this game didn't get the hype, which, you know, I'm in Cleveland. There was hype. There was plenty of hype. Maybe in the South, there wasn't any hype, right?
I do think that. I saw a lot of my friends that still live in the South that, you know, grew up down there, Alabama fans, guys that I knew in the military that are like, who even cares about this? Like, yeah, because you haven't paid attention to it for a month.
It's kind of how
it's been front of mind right here for a month.
Kind of maybe remember the year it was, you know, Alabama, LSU.
Yes.
Like, did anybody in the North care about that game?
No, not but really. I mean, we can get bogged because I'd like to see the ratings when they come out here later on today or tomorrow, whenever, in get into that minutia of it. I think there's a lot of emotions to play into it here. And I think that, well, you know, you said, you know, you saw it alone. All right, fine, but still your team. You still have to see what some of the reactions were. I for the Ohio State fans I know, which includes you, and the reason I like it so much with you is that it's one of the things that you actually get emotional for. You don't get emotional for very much anymore. And so I enjoy seeing you get emotional and worked up and even at times shooting your mouth off about it. I can't sit here and do champions pose all day. It wasn't the hardest guarantee that anybody can make for crying out loud.
Also,
it wasn't like it was Joe Namath.
Also, Kenny, like, I noticed this yesterday. This wasn't when Ohio State beat Miami, right? When nobody thought Ohio State could win, including most Ohio State fans. And you win a game like that, especially when Miami is planning their national championship parties and there's flyers circulating.
Yeah.
That's a little bit different, right? Or when Urban Meyer's team in the semis beat Alabama, when a lot of people were not giving you a chance and you have your third string quarterback. Last night, it was weird. You had the best roster. Well, you had, it's debated to like the penny, but you had one of the most expensive rosters in college football. You were supposed to win. It did feel differently. That part of it was different. And in a season that you lost to Michigan, right? So,
well, that's what I want to get to. Does the Ohio State-Michigan game mean less now?
So I want to say, this title for me, I've had three of them now. And then four if you count the Cavs. It's getting old, guys. It's getting old winning these titles.
Yeah.
I feel like a Boston fan. But this was, for me, a distant third of the championships my teams have won. Maybe it's because I'm older, too. You know, winning in 2002 when I was on campus, I mean, nothing will ever approach that. That was winning every game by a score, gutting those victories out, and nobody thought you could win. That will always be number one for me. And then, LeBron and Cleveland. Then this one's fourth, but it's still awesome. It's still awesome to be the last team standing and knowing that, you know, who can say anything? I mean, what, Michigan fans are going to try to say, well, you lost us. No, we still won the national championship. You were at home.
Well,
you didn't make the playoff.
I think it means less this year. I think it means less this year. It's very awkward for anybody making merchandise or anything because I don't know if you want to put the schedule on the back because I don't think any Ohio State fan is going to want to buy a schedule that shows a loss to Michigan for their national championship merchandise. So, I mean, that makes it a little bit more difficult. I think the game still matters a whole lot. If you had not won in the playoff, then it's still, you didn't win the Big Ten. You didn't win against Michigan. What did you actually accomplish? Like, you had to do something pretty tough to do to get over it. So, I don't, in the grand scheme of things, these games, the Iron Bowl, the game, they mean a little bit less because of the playoff, because of the chance. I can't deny that. But had you had not won the national championship, had it ended up being Notre Dame last night who ended up winning, I think that this culminates into you in a giant chasm of anger and frustration. So that means the game has to mean a lot. The game still means a great deal. Like, I'm not telling any Ohio State fan to give a damn or to pay one ounce of attention to a Michigan fan who's saying, well, you couldn't beat it. Doesn't matter. You won the championship. You won the national championship. That's the way it works. If Pittsburgh wins the Super Bowl in a year that we beat them twice, I don't think a Pittsburgh fan's going to care.
No.
I don't think a Pittsburgh fan's going to care. So why should an Ohio State fan really care? If and it's a deeper rivalry, I get that. But why should an Ohio State fan really care? You're just going to make yourself upset and make yourself agitated.
Yeah.
A day like today, it's not to pay attention to any Michigan fan,
right,
for what they may say.
Right. And I had them. They were salty last night because they certainly had the most incredible year ever, right? Winning, beating Ohio State, then beating Ohio State again.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, like, if Ohio State loses to Michigan next year, right, and you know, that could certainly happen, right? That certainly could happen. Michigan went and bought the most expensive quarterback. They had some big money behind that. They switched him from LSU. Like, if Ohio State loses next year, I'll never get as worked up as I was this year because they proved they could go and win it.
I want to see how you feel in November next year. I want to see how you feel then. I think it's very easy now to say you won't get as worked up. What are the chances you go on a 4-game run like this again?
No, probably.
Especially the year after, because it's,
right,
once you win, it's always hard to repeat. It's always harder to repeat. So if you win this year, which you did.
But the difference will be that they already got one, you know, that Ryan Day got one. I did not know when they lost to Michigan this year. I'm like, will we ever win another one again? We'll have the best rosters, but will we ever win? Like, I had that doubt. Now they did. They went and won it this year. They went in this improbable run, you know, annihilating Tennessee and Oregon, and they win this championship. Now I can never get that worked up about a Michigan game again. I can't.
216-474-0092. Larry and Elyria, you're first up on the Fan.
Hey, how's it going, you guys? Go Bucks. Real quick, you know something, you guys? If it wasn't for the 12-team playoff, would it expand this year? The Buckeyes wouldn't even be in it. If they stayed to the 4-game, like it had, it'd been disappointing. I'm glad we did. But, we haven't been in the playoff championship.
Well, that's without a doubt. But I think that in the game against Michigan, and this is where I think it propels you here, that loss, if you're an Ohio State fan and you're getting it from a Michigan fan or whatever, I just think you tune them out right now. But I also think that, you could say, thank you. It helped refocus us. It helped refocus Ohio State. You were a depth star in those first couple of games, and then you ran into two teams that were quality. I mean, Tennessee has a good offense. They need a lot of help still. The quarterback needs to take another step, and you went out there and you throttled them. And they were happy, and Tennessee was just kind of happy to be there. Oregon, again, I think it's very difficult for two good teams to beat each other back-to-back in a single season, and you came out there and you were dominant from the very get-go against Oregon. Texas, you got in your own way. You still found a way to win that football game. This game, I know that Notre Dame made it a little closer than what a lot of Ohio State fans want to recognize. I didn't feel that way. I thought Ohio State would take care of the business, and that was fine, even when it got within two scores. I wasn't as worked up or bothered by any of that stuff. It refocused your efforts against tough football teams. And in that way, I mean, you could look at it as a blessing if you really wanted to. 216-474-0092. I want to know, for an Ohio State fan today, we'll get back to the Ryan Day stuff coming up a little bit later on. Well, Bobby Carpenter at 920 this morning, if you're with us later. But I want to know, does the game matter less to you now as an Ohio State fan after winning a national championship game? Does the game matter as much now after Ohio State wins a national championship after losing to Michigan? I think it does. I think it does because I don't know how many seasons you're going to go where you lose. Either Michigan loses to Ohio State or Ohio State loses to Michigan, you go on and you win a national championship. I think it's a very, very hard thing to do. Next year, it's going to change. It's hard to put confetti back in the cannon. So I think that this year is going to be an anomaly. I think you'll have plenty of chances where you'll lose that Michigan game and be put in the playoffs. The same thing for Michigan against Ohio State. There will be plenty of opportunities there, But to actually run the table, win 4 games like that, no. I think that it's still pressure. I think that there's still going to be a lot there, even if you expand to 16 teams at some point, which you will. But even when you expand to 16 teams, you get rid of the college football conference championships, and I still think it matters.
Well, it'll never be as monumental a game, though, right? I mean, you got to agree with that.
No, because it would have knocked you out before.
It's never.
It's not as just, big as it was.
It's just not going to be a yearly elimination game the way it was. And I know that the C.J. Stroud
unless
team lost and had a chance.
Unless you've already had a lot of disappointment before.
Right.
Like, if you're already a two-loss team going into that game, that very well could be an elimination game.
Yeah, well, I think we will see three-loss teams in the playoff at some point, especially if they expand. So who knows? Like, it's just going to be hard for me to think about what would have to happen for an Ohio State team not to make the playoff. Same thing I said, Notre Dame's got their own, you know, kind of fast-track way that they're involved in the playoff. You know, these teams will have every opportunity because they're just looking for a win here or there. I mean, think about the teams that had no wins, had no impressive wins. Indiana was in the playoff, no impressive wins. Like, that's Indiana. So imagine Ohio State. Ohio State's always going to have, you know, a top 10 win most likely, right? Especially with the rosters that they're building and the way that the schedules are and how these super conferences are going to be given the benefit of the doubt. So you're always going to have teams ranked that are in that conference. So it's just never going to be what it was, which is if you lose to Michigan, that rivalry week, your season is over. It's just not the case going forward. So yeah, by definition, you know, the game's never going to be what it was. I know this will be a generation gap, too. I do think older Ohio State fans, it'll still matter, but younger Ohio State fans just maybe won't. It just won't. And yeah, you can hear Jim Tressel and Urban Meyer and all the great Earl Bruce, you know, when he would always come on during that week and would just get you really fired up. Like, yeah, they'll still tell you the game matters, but we just saw what happened this year. We saw Ohio State lose inexcusably to Michigan and then go win the national championship.
216-474-0092. Matt on the road, you're first up on the Fan.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Not bad, Matt. Go right on ahead.
So first off, you know, congrats to the Bucks. You know, but I do think this does kind of, you know, give credence to a few things where it's like, you know, you have now a situation where I kind of compare it to what year was it where the Bengals made the Super Bowl and all the Browns fans were running their mouth like, yeah, we swept the Bengals, but hey, and all the Bengals fans are like, well, yeah, well, we're in the Super Bowl, so. And I think the other thing, too, is like I think this could have, you know, you look at all these coaches' legacies and, you know, Cooper's known for not beating Michigan, you know, despite, you know, all the talent, everything on the teams, like what would that have done for him? Like if now in the 12-team playoff, it's just weird retrospect, I guess, now to look at some of these coaches.
Well, it's, I think that Matt, and thank you very much for the call. I think it goes from, again, you take Ryan Day 2 months ago. I would have felt he would just would have passed out, not actually gone to bed after the loss against Michigan. The despondent nature of things, the frustration boiling over, the booing, the flag incident, things like that. And to take it to where it is now, to get that team to get refocused, I think is a tremendous coaching job. And it's a tremendous job of professionalism, but also heart by the Ohio State team to care about what's to come, the playoff to come, to get the things matter most. And remember, you have guys there. Yeah, Will Howard, he's a transfer-in guy. You see this guy. I mean, we've tried to do this in the NFL with our own team. You take a guy, you bring him in, you try to make him a leader. You can't just lead right like that. You have to have that in you. And for Will Howard to go in and be from K-State, which is a lesser program, take over a place like Ohio State, instantly become that type of leader, be able to lead them past, I think that means something. I think that leads to the specialness of it. Like you made a mention here, A couple of segments ago, Anthony, and I want to get to this, you know, snow weather thing coming up here in just a few minutes. But you made a mention a couple of segments ago about where this title would rank in terms of specialness of the three national championships that you've seen in your life. You say that this is number three. For me, as an outsider, right, I'd put Ohio State's 2002 at the top. I was still a fan then. I remember exactly where I was. I remember almost everything about the entire night. It was in a day that you could actually play the national championship game on a Friday of all days. The 2024 team, I think that this is more special than the 2014 team. Because of the playoff atmosphere and because, again, you've had this, the 2002 team, it was a lot of Ohio guys. It was a lot of guys. I mean, you had a few Federal League guys from my neck of the woods. You had a lot of guys there. And obviously, you have a lot of Ohio guys that actually played for both of these teams last night in the national championship game. I think the most players from any state that played in this championship game or in the playoffs or whatever came from the state of Ohio. But you also, you have this team that had to be brought together, had to rely on each other for the final four games of this postseason after what happened against Michigan. To me, that speaks to something. I think that's more special. If we're doing the rankings there, I put 02, I'd put this team, then I'd put 2014.
Now, I think the Cardale Jones...
That was a big game. The fact
that Ohio State lost their quarterbacks,
yeah.
You're on your third string guy. Yeah. He happens to be from right here in Northeast Ohio. That will still always be up there for me. And then, obviously, you know, that's a team that beat Michigan. So... back when it mattered. Now, you know, who knows? So, hey, it's a national championship, it's a national championship. Like, we're obviously splitting hairs. You know, every Buckeye fan, you know, is having a blast with this. I did see, I think it's a very fringe Ohio State thing, and you probably are above the age of 60. I did see a few go, no, doesn't matter, we lost to Michigan. I'm just like, that's just a different era now.
They could wake up this morning and feel that way.
Let's split hairs. You've got three of them now.
Yeah.
We do things in threes.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, 0-2 is just, it's a world of its own. For me, I was on campus. It was a team I covered at Ohio State. Yeah, I did a radio show that year on campus with Jim Tressel. Like, nothing's ever going to come close to that. It's just going to be number one by far and away. And you made a case. I mean, Kenny, I'll give you credit. You made a case for this one because of the playoff. It's the first one. Remember, though, when they won it in 2014, right, that was the first expanded.
Yes,
the first four team at the time. That was expanded, but now this is even more expanded. So that's going to be number two for me. So many great moments. Beating Alabama, too. That was so awesome.
On 3 weeks before that, 4 weeks before that, you didn't have a quarterback.
You destroyed Wisconsin in that Big Ten championship. And I was there to watch it. Maybe that was part of it, too. I just wasn't as connected with this team.
Lord.
So your family's really just ruining Buckeye football for you now.
Yeah.
His family ruins a lot of things for him.
Although, did you see the get-in price yesterday? Wouldn't have mattered. Old me, new me, I wasn't getting into this game.
I think the lowest you showed on that screenshot was $4,000.
Yeah, so people wait until kickoff like you did for the Kansas City game this year. Like, oh, I'll just wait. There were people that bought flights, made it down to Atlanta just assuming, yeah, when you're there, when you're on the ground,
you'll
get in. Nope, not with Notre Dame and Ohio State playing. There was no decrease in price.
Let me get to Richie in Cleveland. Richie, you're first up in the fan. Hello.
Thanks for taking my call, gentlemen. This is a great day for Ohio State. The fact that they had to beat four quality opponents in this playoff bracket. They also ended up beating Indiana earlier in the year, and they had other big wins. Hey, they lost a couple games. So what? It happens sometime. You know, if the Browns were to lose to Pittsburgh twice but end up winning the Super Bowl, you know, you'd think it'd be a great day for Browns football. So there's nothing to apologize for. Yeah, they let them back in the game, but still, it's another championship. Ohio State won the first 4-team playoff, and now they won the first 12-team playoff. And if you're jonesing to root for winning football in Cleveland, just root for Ohio State, because the Browns are headed down a rough road to the bottom of the division. There ain't any light at the end of the tunnel. And, you know, Ohio State has a great program pretty much every year. You know, some years are better than others, but they're usually going to have a winning season. And now that they expanded that playoff to 12 teams, they're darn near going to be in it every year unless they have some catastrophic failure of a season. So, thank you for taking my call.
I'd be willing to say, Richie, and thank you very much for the call. I'd be willing to say that 90% of the Buckeye fans or the Browns fans in this area are Buckeye fans. I'd be hard pressed to find ones that aren't, and the other ones there's probably 7 or 8% that are Notre Dame fans, and then you have maybe an other if they went to another Big Ten school or somewhere else, or just you know like me, I went to Akron, so I'm an Akron guy. I think that that's the way a lot of people feel about the winning football with Ohio State and with the Browns, them getting themselves figured out here. I don't know, maybe they'll get a couple of Buckeyes, and we'll talk about that coming up at 8 o'clock with the dangerous one, Darrell Redder. All right, over the weekend you had the big snow game. Los Angeles taking on Philadelphia, ended up being a blizzard. Lima, you said it was a bad day for all the weather people out there. I thought it a little bit differently, but you said it should have been a bad day for all the weather people.
This is one of the times we always talk about home field advantage. This was one of the weekends where, I mean, home field advantage was apparent, right? The way that Philadelphia handled the weather compared to the Rams, who look like they did not want to be out in that cold. And I know they made a game of it late. Like, Philly gave up those plays late in the fourth. You couldn't do anything against them, and then all of a sudden they had a chance to win the game, the Rams. But, you know, overall, the weather was a factor there, and the weather was a factor for Baltimore, which, you know, they play in cold too, so I don't know that the home field thing.
Yeah, but if that's in a dome, they probably win that game.
Yes. I would have picked Baltimore if it was just nice out. If it was just 40 degrees out, I probably would have picked Baltimore to win that game. So weather had a huge impact on these games, Kenny. You can't deny that, right?
No, I think it did. I think it did. What is there a problem with the weather affecting the games?
I did think it made that Eagles game kind of unwatchable for two quarters. For the second and third quarter, neither team...
Unwatchable?
It was. It was ugly. Neither team. I mean, I totally Jalen Hurts, too. Jalen Hurts, they couldn't... I put it this way. Like, I want, in the biggest games, I want the athletes to be athletes. They could not be athletes in that game. You know, wide receivers couldn't cut. They were falling down. They couldn't handle the football. The ball handling
Barkley seemed to
was different.
Do okay.
Yeah, running back, full head of steam. Like, that's the type of thing that could work if you got through. But the passing game, you know, what do we always say about why they protect the quarterbacks? Because the networks know you want to see quarterbacks. You want to see guys able to throw the ball down the field in passing game. And that was gone really until the final drives by the Rams. Gone in the middle of that game.
I don't think that they just went up and down the field and threw the ball all over the place. But I thought when it mattered, I mean, Matt Stafford was able to move the football down the field. They were able to complete some big passes.
Saquon Barkley, it was directly in line too. The weather was part of it though, right? Like, the second and third quarter was when the elements were at its worst in that game.
Of course.
So that was the time I'm like, man, these teams can't even get a 10-yard pass down the field. Like, that part of it was kind of unwatchable to me.
Well, I'm still pro-dome because I think that there's not a lot of times where you're going to get that type of weather. Playoff time, you're going to get that type of weather. I don't think that there's guys from all over the country, so I don't know how much of a home field advantage it actually matters as it is. But when you bring up athletes, like, okay, Saquon Barkley's a good running back. If you're going to have bad weather, you better have yourself a good running game. They have a good running game with the Philadelphia Eagles. They don't have the best running game with the LA Rams. So I still think that, hey, you want to talk about getting athletes in space. I didn't want to make anything easier for the Rams, for Kyren Williams or anything like that.
But Kyren couldn't handle the football either. That was definitely a part of it.
And that guy, didn't he go to, where did Kyren Williams go to Notre Dame? So he played in a cold weather. He played in cold weather as it was. I don't know how many snow games he actually had, but he played in cold weather as it was. I think that the people that make the big deals about, they don't like to watch weather in the snow, or they go after the people. I really just think you're trying to be contrarian to be contrarian.
Well, I just don't want to watch a game with nine punts, and there were nine punts in a game.
That's the way it goes. That's the way football is.
I think it definitely is that way when the elements, you know, get a hold of the game, and I think they did. So let me ask you this. Would you rather have the Super Bowl in cold weather and snow every year?
No, because I think
why not?
Because the tradition, I'm used to warm weather Super Bowls, watching it on TV, and everybody being on T-shirts and things like that.
Why do people act like cold weather is the tradition in football? The elements? Is it because NFL films glorified some really cold games in the Ice Bowl?
Snow is excellent for television, and it's excellent to glorify for that stuff. I mean, my God, but I think when you get to the tradition of the areas, like if it were a balmy 67 degrees in that game, I do think it takes a little bit of it, because when you think of Philly in January, you think of bad weather, you think of storm fronts coming through, you think of a lot of snow and a lot of cussing and a lot of people boozed up and everything like that. I don't think you think of 70 degrees. Or if it were to snow in Miami during a playoff game, I think people would be thrown off by that.
Yeah, I'm just saying, for me, and this is, I just think, what the fundamental disagreement is. For me, when it's the biggest games in football, I just want to see them not be neutered. I want to see the athletes do athletic things. It's why I watch the game. It's why we love quarterbacks, because quarterbacks throwing to guys down the field is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never buy that. I want to watch a game where a 4-yard run is like celebrated. That's just never going to be the type of football that's going to be what I'm into.
I think that there's, if it became nothing but 4-yard runs being celebrated, I think there would be a point to be made there. However, these one-off
games are not a big
issue to me.
Notre Dame's opening drive yesterday. Notre Dame's opening drive is not where I want to see football. And it was interesting. In the NFL this weekend, I mean, that was That was the quarterback play. You know, really, again, Stafford's numbers were inflated because of those final two drives. But if you looked everywhere where the game was cold, I mean, what did Patrick Mahomes, what was his final line? 177? 177 for Patrick. The best quarterback I've ever seen in my life, possibly. Patrick Mahomes is throwing for 177. That's just not the football that I like.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML, fix my life.
Denny, what do we do?
Fixing life.
My life.
Well, it was a great weekend for some of us. Might not have been a great weekend for everybody involved with the show. Although,
I was hoping Ohio State would win. I wanted to be right about the guarantee, and I wanted my son to be happy. For the love of God.
Well, Owen, I thought was going to come in ear-to-ear smiles after his Kansas City Chiefs advanced to a seventh straight AFC Championship game. But instead, Owen's a little testy when I walked in, and now I know why. Because you had some issues with the new dog.
Well, we talked about it last year, right? I challenged my children to make the state tournament for wrestling, and one of them made two of them, and he's made it again. And so we decided, my wife saw a dog on one of the shelters, like looking for a home. It's 2 years old. Perfect Bernese Mountain Dog. I mean, just a beautiful dog. Beautiful dogs. And we brought it home, and so that was Friday. I wasn't home. I was at a tournament, got home late, saw the dog. Saturday, I went to a different tournament. Sunday, I'm sitting watching football. I'm like, man, I cannot breathe. My nose is clogged. Like, not normal, it's cold. I have a cold clogged. It's really clogged. And I have a cat allergy, so I know what this is like. This is not as severe as the cat allergy, but I am allergic to this dog. I have been doing Doctor's Book of Home Remedies for Sunday afternoon and all day yesterday, trying to figure out how to make sure that this dog's safe. Because it is, I met my wife 10 years ago. One of the first things she ever told me was, I just want a Bernese Mountain Dog one day. And
that's what she said.
It wasn't the first thing, Ken. It was one of the first things that she ever told me.
It was just very specific.
That's the dog that she's always wanted. And we finally got the opportunity to get one.
Oh, they're beautiful dogs, man. I'm looking right now. They are absolutely beautiful.
Oh, this dog's beautiful. Beautiful dog.
And so it's not as bad as the cat. With the cat allergies, I get the stuffy nose, itchy eyes, itchy throat, like can't clear my throat at all. This, I get a stuffy nose. I'm kind of putting up with it. I went pretty heavy on the allergy pills. I've changed out the air filter to, you know, I've got one of those $25 air filters in the furnace now that suck up all of the dander and all of that. And I'm trying it. Trying to make it work. The kids love the dog. My wife loves the dog. I like the dog.
216-474-0092. What the hell should Owen do?
I need some help. Help me get through this. I know somebody out there has lived with a family pet for the rest of their family.
Can't take the dog back.
Right. Well, we got it from a shelter, too. And
oh,
we got it
can't
at a,
take the dog back now.
I mean, you've seen pictures of the dog.
Yeah.
There were like 20 beautiful families dog in line. We were first. This is how we got it. Friday morning, my wife saw it at 7-something. I'm in the car driving to Toledo. She texted me and she goes, do you think it'll still be there when I get off work? I said, absolutely not. So my daughter, who is 18 now and can legally sign for a dog, went and sat outside the shelter for, I think it opened at 10. She got there at like 8:30. It was like, I'm going to be first in line
to sit for this dog.
Oh,
to
my get this God, dog. You're making it worse.
That dog back now. That dog's not going back. I've never had this problem. Like, Liz is allergic to cats. And I don't hate cats. I used to hate cats. I don't hate cats anymore. But we don't have we have no wanting to get a cat. I don't know if I've known anybody allergic to dogs.
It's weird. It's just, and like we tried to, we have a walk-in shower downstairs where I was like, let's give this dog a bath. Maybe it's the hair.
Right.
And Chrissy couldn't get him into the shower last night. I mean, he's 80 pounds and we have a dog currently that's 11 that she might as well be a cat. We look at each other when I walk in the house. We acknowledge each other's presence, and that's it. This dog is on my lap.
Yeah.
Like, it is, it's just a playful two-year-old boy dog.
What is your quality of life situation now? Well, scale of 1 to 10.
Just in general, I live with seven other people, so my quality of life's not
great.
No,
all that stuff, throw that out the window. The quality of life before and after dog when it comes to you having to rub your eyes or get the Kleenex out.
The only thing that sucked, I woke up with a headache this morning because I couldn't breathe, really.
Okay, now wait a second, Kenny. Kenny, he's got to be able to
breathe.
That's
why he's a little tight right now with everybody.
He's got to be able to breathe.
Take Flonase. Will Flonase help?
I took some yesterday. It seems to help a little bit. But that's my other thing.
I think you got
to
build up.
I'm so far. I'm not at the house most of the time, especially during wrestling season, between a practice or a tournament or a duel somewhere. That it's like, now the times that I'm there, it is there to rest and recover. But I need to, I'm not there enough to be like, this is my house.
Owen's a real Dave Schultz. Yeah. All right, let's get the phone. Let me get to Justin in Strongsville. Justin, hello.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
We're doing well, Justin. Help Owen.
All right, so long story short, I am deathly allergic to dogs and cats, and I have four of them. I mean, like, EpiPen allergic. I've learned, one, you can take allergy shots if you really wanted to, and they kind of suck at first, but man, do they do some work. I mean, like, serious work.
Owen, you were in the service. You're not opposed to shots. Yeah, you've had a lot of shots.
Well, I don't take shots now because of some of the inoculations I got.
I guess you're going to have to go to the doctor.
I'll show you the scar on my arm.
Justin, maybe that works. Because, I've read about this. This all seems like stuff that I don't believe any of this stuff would work. About the bathing and the grooming outside and getting rid of carpet and stuff. I still think you'd probably have a problem with that. If the dog's just going to hop up on your lap, go ahead, Justin.
Well, he does a lot of good stuff I was going to mention. Another thing you notice is that dog hair is heavier than cat hair. So if you make sure the dog isn't laying on anything that you're going to put your face on, that could help as well.
All right, Justin, thank you very much for the call.